that Jesus was this root out of the dry ground. That the David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, it said that he would have a seed on the throne forever. Forever that David's seed would reign on the throne. But you know what happened? The line terminated at the end of the Old Testament.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of This is Love, foretold by the prophets. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of This is Love, foretold by the prophets.
The king that people were looking for, he came lowly. There was nothing that people looked at and said, man, you know, I'll follow after this guy. Like I said, the only reason they followed him was because of the miracles that he did. The lowliness of the Savior, that he humbled himself and was born in a manger. And it talked about the fact that the foxes have their holes, the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. Nowhere to lay his head. He came meek and lowly. He didn't come reigning and ruling in power and authority. The lowliness of the Savior. And then we see the work of the Savior. Or the plight of the Savior, excuse me. The plight of the Savior. Look at verse 3. The plight of the Savior. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Notice there in your notes, he was despised even though he was loved by some. He was hated by many. He was rejected. Even though he was followed by some, he was rejected by many. He had sorrows. Even though he had joy, his life was filled with many sorrows. He had grief. Even though this word generally means sickness, here it means that he caused things, that he experienced things that caused him anguish and grief. Men hid their faces from him. Even though there are various interpretations to this phrase, it means that people turned their faces from him because they felt offended by his ministry. And even some could not look upon him when he died upon the cross. That they turned their faces from him. He was not esteemed. The Savior of all mankind was given absolutely no value. He was rejected. He was despised and rejected by men. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The plight of the Savior. Despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. People turned their faces from him, and they did not esteem him. And we might say, well, that was the people back in Jesus' day. If you could put that slide back up. That was the people in Jesus' day. That's what they did. That they balled their fists. That they pointed their fingers. But need I remind us, in the words of the songwriter who said this, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring that my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Years I spent with my fists balled. Years I spent with my finger shaking. Years I spent in vanity and pride. And just like these guys on this day rejected the Savior, that there was a time in my life. I can't speak for you, but I know there was a time in my life when I rejected the Savior. And that's the plight of the Savior. And then we see the work of the Savior. The work of the Savior in verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus bore the grief and the sorrows of humanity. And you know what? As you read this text here, it's almost like, and as I was studying the commentaries, that they were saying, well, some people thought, well, Jesus got what he deserved. He got what he deserved. Look what it says there. They said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did. We looked at him as stricken. We looked at him as smitten of God. He was the one that was under judgment, that he must have did something wrong. The reason that this man is dying on the cross, the reason that this man is hanging on the cross, is because he must have did something wrong. And he's hanging there because he's paying for a crime that he committed. But Isaiah said, oh, that's wrong thinking. Don't think that way. Because he goes on in the next verse and he straightens it out. Notice what he says here. He was wounded for our transgressions. He didn't die on the cross for something that he did wrong. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That word bruised actually means to be crushed to powder. That he was crushed to powder for your iniquities, for the evil thoughts that you have, for the wrong deeds that you have done, for the times when you committed sins, not only against God, but you committed a sin against somebody else. That's why he hung on that cross. And as you look at him hanging on the cross, that we need to realize that this is the work of the Savior. That the Savior died on the cross. Look at that. He didn't die because he did something. He didn't die because he did something wrong. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. We were in turmoil. He was chastised for our peace. And he was beaten with the whip. His back was torn open. There was a crown of thorns jammed on his head. He was punched. He was smacked. He was mocked. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, by the stripes on his back, if Christ didn't take the... Notice, this passage in Isaiah could have went bad real fast. And you know how? Just think about capital punishment. In the Old Testament, you know, capital punishment was stoning. The Jewish people exercised capital punishment by stoning. And it just so happened that the Romans were in authority at that time. And the Roman form of capital punishment was crucifixion. And oftentimes before the crucifixion, you got it. They would whip the criminal with a whip. And just think, Isaiah prophesied this years before it happened. And if there was any other form of execution, this verse would have came up short. By his stripes, by the wounds on his back, we are healed. You think about how that should have been us. That should have been me. That should have been you that received that beating. And the thing about our stripes, it wouldn't have healed anything. Our stripes wouldn't have healed anything. But because God stepped out of eternity, came and walked across this earth, it's by his stripes that we are healed. The work of the Savior. And then we move on as we look at the submission of the Savior. The submission of the Savior. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. It says that he was oppressed. You know what that means? That he was weighted down, that he took upon himself all the sins of the whole world, and they were placed upon him, and he was weighted down on the cross. And that's why he felt in his spirit, when he was weighted down with the sins of the world, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? He was weighted down. And many of us, had we been condemned unjustifiably, we would have complained. But notice what it said. It said that as a lamb that was led to the slaughter, just like that little lamb who trots on its way, realizing that it's not going to be slaughtered, but Jesus knew he was going to be slaughtered. But just like that lamb, he willingly submitted to the crucifixion. And he prayed in the garden, Lord, not my will, but thy will. If it be possible, Lord, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter. If you could put that picture back up. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shear is dumb. The sheep, look at that sheep, just lying there and letting the shepherd shear it, letting the shepherd take the wool off of his body, just submissively. And so we see that when Jesus went to the cross, he went like the lamb innocently. He was like the sheep being sheared, just innocent. He was submissive because he realized that he was dying for the sins of the world, and he submitted to the fact that that's what he was supposed to do. The submission of the Savior. Then we see the sentence of the Savior in verses 8 and 9. He was taken from prison and judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. That he was accused falsely. When we go back and we look at what happened to Jesus, if you go to that next slide, if we look what happened to Jesus, we see that there were 6 false trials. The sentence of the Savior, there you go. He was falsely accused before Annas. He was falsely accused before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. He was falsely accused the next day before the Sanhedrin. He was falsely accused before Pilate the first time. He was falsely accused before Herod. And then he went before Pilate a second time, and he was falsely accused. We see the sentence of the Savior, that he was taken from prison and judgment. He was cut off out of the land of the living. And it said here that he made his grave with the wicked, that they had every intention of burying Jesus right alongside those two wicked criminals. Every intention to lay his body beside the two thieves that he died with. And the only reason that he didn't get buried with them is because Joseph of Arimathea came and took his body and buried it in his grave. But man had every intention of giving him a criminal's burial. But God had other things in mind. The sentence of the Savior. And then, finally, we look at the glory of the Savior in verses 10 through 12. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When shall thou make his soul an offering for sin? That Jesus was perfect. He was innocent. He had a perfect soul. But his soul was made an offering for sin. Can you imagine that? The holy, the sinless, the perfect soul that Jesus Christ had. And it was made an offering for sin, for you and me. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and be satisfied by the knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The glory of the Savior. The glory of the Savior. Let me go back and break that down. First of all, it says that his followers would do his work and that his days would be prolonged. That when Jesus died and when he rose again, that many people followed him after that. And even though he was cut off, even though he was dead, his followers are doing his work. And that's you, and that's me. And that as we look back at the death of Christ, we don't see the death of Christ as being worthless, that we don't see the death of Christ as being in vain, but it means something as we serve him. You know, I shared the story about one of my kids growing up, and I remember they had $5. And some of you may remember there was these things called, I think they were called Pogs. And they were little pieces of cardboard, and they had pictures on them. And they came in a tube. And one of my children went in and bought it for $5 and came back out. And I saw it, and I said, you know, all this is a piece of cardboard with a picture on it. You know, I said, man, they really are making a lot of money off of something that's worthless. And as I think about the death of Christ, it would be worthless if you and I don't go forth and serve him. He died on the cross, you know, for our sins. That's true. But according to this verse right here, it said that he will have many that follow after him. That's you, and that's me. When Jesus looks down on us, and he sees our heart, and he sees our service, I wonder if sometime if he doesn't turn to the Father and ask the question, God, did we pay too much for them? Maybe an angel could have came down and died. Maybe we could have let one of the patriarchs that came to heaven, we could have let them go back and die. Did we pay too much? I don't know about you, but I want my service to honor the Savior. I want to look back and say, Lord, your death was not in vain. That it was worth something. Because I'm trying to make a difference in this world. I'm trying to make a difference in the kingdom of God. It said that he would have many followers who would do his work. And then the second thing, he will justify many. He will justify many. Look at verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many. That you were right. I mean, you were wrong with God. There was no way in the world that you were going to be right with God. The only way that you could be right with God, no other way. Yeah, I mean, you could live a perfect life and not have an evil thought or say a bad word or do an evil deed. You could live a perfect life and you still wouldn't get in because you got a sin nature. But it says here that my righteous servant will justify many. That when God looks at you, he doesn't see somebody that's condemned and on their way to hell. But when God looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus. He sees the blood of Jesus covering our life. And he sees the blood of Jesus justifying us, making us right. That God has declared you to be right with him. There was one time that you were wrong with him. But God says, now you are right with me. That we are on, you know, the same page. That we were on different pages before. But right now, we are on the same page. That my righteous servant, he will justify many. And then the last thing, he will receive an inheritance. That he will receive an inheritance. Therefore, verse 12, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. See, therefore, God says, I'm going to give him a portion with the great, that his reward will be with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Why? Because he has poured out his soul unto death. He has poured out his soul unto death, and he will receive the inheritance that God has for him. This 53rd Psalm, we went through it pretty quick. That's why I gave you the notes, so that you could go back through it maybe this week and just pick this 53rd Psalm apart, because this is what the prophets foretold. I was reading a story in the 1800s how that 50,000 slaves were sold at Zanzibar on the African coast. At that spot today is a church. And in the church, instead of an altar, there is a whipping post. And the whipping post is there to remind everybody, this is what happened to the slaves before they left Africa. And we have a cross. And that cross should be a reminder to all of us of what Jesus did for us and how that he was beaten, that he was whipped, he was rejected, he was mocked for us. And just like that whipping post is the altar in that church, the cross is that symbol that takes us back to remember what Jesus did for us.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of This Is Love, In Spite of the Raging Nations. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, This Is Love, Foretold by the Prophets, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, Foretold by the Prophets. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, Foretold by the Prophets. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.